Good evening. If you would like to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I'll be looking at a few verses there in just a second. Romans chapter 8. Over the past several months, Alana has been working her way through a number of different jigsaw puzzles, and they can range from anywhere between 250 to 500 to 1,000 pieces. And it's been kind of great to see her and her determination to get these things done. She'll come in every day at the end of, or actually every morning. I'll see her work on them a little bit, and after school, after she does her homework, she'll work on them a little bit more. And she's actually gotten pretty good at kind of completing these things. And there's times when I try to help her out. I'll have to get my glasses and I'll sit down and I'll take a look at the box to see what we're trying to make. And a lot of times these puzzles have these folded up pieces or folded up versions or these enlarged pictures that you can hang up on the wall so that you can see what it is that you're actually trying to build. And oftentimes when I try to help her, I'll see an opening of the puzzle and I'll try to find a piece that I think has the right color. You know, I'll find one that says, well, this has the right color, it has the right shape. And when I try to fit it there, I think it should go there, but it doesn't really fit. I'll look back at the picture and I'll look back at the box and I'll be like, man, this thing should go there, but it doesn't. I think sometimes we can look at our lives in that same way. And what I mean by that, I think each of us have this folded up picture of what we think our lives should look like. I'm of the belief that God has put in every single one of us this drive to progress towards something, whether it's our goals or our dreams, maybe our hopes that we have for ourselves. We end up living our lives progressing towards these pictures of our lives that we have, and through it all, opportunity comes. You know, challenges typically follow, and sometimes all of our puzzle pieces fit exactly where we think they're supposed to go. But oftentimes we find a piece to our puzzle that we think should go here, we think should go there. It has the right color, it has the right shape, but we end up finding out that piece just doesn't fit there. And when we go back and look at this folded up picture of what we think our life should look like, we say, well, it's supposed to go there. Man, it would be great if this was in my life. Or I wish God would answer this prayer for me so that I could put this piece right there. And when those things don't happen, we get disappointed. You know, we become depressed because our life just isn't going in the direction that we thought it should go. Or worse, we start finding out other pieces of our puzzle that represent sin in our lives, and we start connecting those pieces. And unfortunately, those pieces seem to fit in pretty easily wherever we want to put them. Because we think, oh, nobody will see this piece right there, or it won't hurt to put that piece right there. But in the end, all we're kind of doing is placing pieces into our puzzle that don't really belong there in the first place. And they get in the way of the pieces that are supposed to be there that God actually intended to go there. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting in verse 29, we kind of see a description of what our lives should look like based off of what God has told us and not what we think it should be. Romans chapter 8, it says, verse 29, it says, for whom he foreknew, and he's talking about us, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so when God created us, he created us in his image, and the expectation is that we should strive to be Christ-like, to try our best to be conformed to his image. But sometimes that picture of our lives kind of gets distorted or changed by wrong choices that we make, or by pieces that we force into our picture that shouldn't be going there. Or worse, we allow the sin to come into our lives. We allow temptations to dictate our decisions that we make, and we begin to allow these bad pieces to take the place of these good pieces that should be going there. And the next thing you know, we begin to question ourselves. We get down and on ourselves, and we begin to see our picture full of sin and disappointment. And so we spiral into this low point in our lives. So what do we do to avoid, or what do we do when we fall into these valleys of disappointment? I think one way to avoid these valleys altogether is to recognize the tactics that the devil can actually use against us to make us spiral into these disappointing times in our lives. And if you've ever studied 1 John chapter 2, you're probably familiar with these things. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes, you see that thing over there? Everybody says that you should have it. You need to go out and get it. The lust of the flesh, this will feel good. This will feel good to your body. You need to experience it. The boastfulness, or this pride of life, You deserve this. You've been through a lot. You're important, and it can be about you right now. There's actually two stories in the Bible that kind of reference or actually show us the devil using these tactics in action. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we can read a familiar story of Adam and Eve. And even here at the very beginning, we can see the devil using these things that are kind of identified here in 1 John. I think there's actually four, but the extra one being the devil makes us question God. But I'll leave it up to you to understand that or make that decision on your own. But in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said?'" Did God really say that? "'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden.'" And then skipping down to verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," lust of the flesh, "that it was pleasant to the eyes," lust of the eyes, "and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate." The boastfulness, the pride of life, you deserve to be wise. You need to be wise. There's another story in the Bible where we see this very same tactics being used by the devil, and it's in the New Testament. I never really made the connection before, but I've kind of read this story several times, and it's in Matthew chapter 4. It's where Jesus goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 say, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" he's questioning, "'command that these stones become bread,'" lust of the flesh. "But he answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against you.'" You're important, Jesus. It's all about you. "And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' And the devil took him up exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, 'All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me.'" The lust of the eyes. I think all of these things kind of translate well to us today. And there are so many things around us that tempt our lust of the flesh. So many things that tempt the lust of the eyes, the boastfulness or the pride of life. And if we're not consistently trying to progress towards being able to better identify these things, the devil will hit us over and over again until we give in. And if we're not moving, we become a very easy target for the devil. So the other thing that we can do to avoid these valleys of disappointment is to make sure that we're constantly progressing forward, that we're living with purpose. Can we say to ourselves that we're not losing sight of what our puzzle of life should look like based on what God wants us to be? Are we moving towards something that is godly? If we're not striving towards something, if we're not actively moving and trying to progress, we'll end up just going through the motions of life, but not really going anywhere. We'll find ourselves just standing in one spot. And when we're not moving, we make ourselves an easy target for the devil. And we can probably resist him for a little while, but if we stand still, he'll eventually hit us over and over again until he hits us right in the bullseye and our progress toward this godly picture becomes distorted. So progress towards God. I think God knows what's best for us. And the best way to put our jigsaw puzzle of life together is to allow God to help us place the right pieces exactly where they should go. But we have to learn to keep other sinful pieces off the table so that those pieces don't take the place of the good pieces that God intended to be there in the first place. Back in the book of Romans, and this is my final verse, where we started off, just one verse before in verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." All things, even the ones that hurt. So we may think that our lives would have been better off if this happened or that happened, you know. We may think that this piece fits better here. We try to figure to force it where it doesn't belong. But it's time like this where we must lean on our faith that God will bring another piece that will fit better than the one I'm trying to put there. I just need to have the patience to find it. So each time we get together, we give people the opportunity to come up. If you have anything that you need to do, let's stand while we sing.